Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Good morning, major step.
The motion to concur with an amendment is agreed to.
The Senate passes the most significant gun safety package in decades overnight. 15 Republicans joining Democrats to move it forward just hours after a landmark Supreme Court decision to expand gun rights. The House set to vote on that historic legislation today. We are live in Washington with the very latest. Compelling testimony, former top justice officials lay out the pressure they say they were under from then President Trump to legitimize false claims about the 2020 election.
Say it was corrupt and leave the rest to me and the Republican congressman.
Where it all goes from here with more hearings still to come. Unrelenting, the record-shattering heat wave that's gripped much of the nation expanding this morning. We'll have your full forecast and what you can expect over the weekend. Hero in action, that quick-thinking coach and the American Olympian who passed out in the pool sharing their story after that dramatic rescue.
As soon as she was going down, immediately I know that something was wrong.
Just ahead, new details behind the frightening moment and why they're able to laugh about it now.
Just so grateful to have her as a coach.
All that plus grin and bear it. The question dividing one of America's most tranquil summer destinations. Should women be allowed to go topless on the beaches of Nantucket?
There is something wrong with that concept. I may not choose to go topless. God forbid everybody would run away. But I think other people should have that choice.
We're there live with an inside look at that heated debate. Today, Friday, June 24th, 2022.
From NBC News, this is Today with Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb, live from Studio 1A in Rockefeller Plaza.
Well, good Friday morning, everybody. We're happy that you're joining us today. Craig is in for Savannah. All right, but we are going to begin with some big breaking news overnight. The Senate passed the nation's most sweeping gun bill in nearly 30 years.
And the vote was 65 to 33 with 15 Republicans joining Democrats. That bill now heads to the House today where it is expected to pass.
Yeah, that's a landmark moment there. But as we mentioned, that movement on Capitol Hill came just hours after the Supreme Court delivered a stunning victory for gun advocates, striking down a New York state law about carrying concealed weapons. We've got it all covered this morning. We're going to start with NBC's Peter Alexander, who's at the White House. Hey, Peter, good morning.
Hey, Hoda, good morning. Let's start with that Senate vote. This is a major bipartisan breakthrough on one of the most divisive issues in this country, guns. And amid new urgency following a series of recent mass shootings, senators on both sides of the aisle faced growing pressure to act. The House will take up the bill this morning with a vote expected today, meaning it could go to President Biden's desk to be signed into law as soon as possible.
Overnight, the U.S. Senate voting to pass major new gun restrictions.
The yeas are 65, the nays are 33.
15 Republicans, including House Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, joining all 50 Democrats to move forward the bill, considered to be the most significant anti-gun violence legislation in nearly 30 years.
The gun safety bill we are passing tonight can be described with three adjectives: bipartisan, common sense, life-saving.
It closes the boyfriend loophole, incentivizes states to pass red flag laws, includes enhanced federal background checks for gun buyers between the ages of 18 and 21, and provides funding for school security upgrades and mental health services. The package stops short of banning or raising the age to buy assault rifles like the ones used in recent mass shootings in Uvalde and Buffalo. On an issue stalled by decades of partisan gridlock, it's a compromise being touted by both sides as real progress.
Tonight, people who have suffered unthinkable losses of loved ones in some of these mass shooting incidents. But I wanted to tell them that their advocacy has turned their pain into something positive.
The NRA opposes the bill, saying in a statement it falls short at every level and does little to address violent crime. But gun rights advocates are celebrating a major victory earlier Thursday. In a 6-3 decision, the Supreme Court ruled the Constitution provides a right to carry a concealed gun outside the home, striking down a New York state law and further strengthening the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. According to the ruling, states can still ban guns in sensitive places like schools and churches, but that protection does not extend to all places where people gather. The decision will have immediate impact, especially in 5 other states that have concealed carry laws, similar to New York's. President Biden reacting to the Supreme Court news.
I'm disappointed.
But the president is now looking ahead to signing Congress's new bipartisan gun legislation, saying in a statement, kids in schools and communities will be safer because of it.
So the Supreme Court and Congress going in opposite directions on gun rights yesterday. Another significant breakthrough, though, overnight. The Senate has now teed up a vote on President Biden's nominee to lead the ATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. For as soon as lawmakers get back from their July 4th recess, Steve Dettelbach is expected to be confirmed as the ATF's first permanent leader in more than 6 years. Hoda and Craig.
All right. Peter Alexander for us there at the White House. Peter, thanks.
Let's bring in NBC's senior Washington correspondent Hallie Jackson now. So, Hallie, as Peter just outlined there, you've got this split-screen day right. with dueling developments on the guns issue. Let's start with the Supreme Court decision. Set the scene for what happens next. Where does the right. debate go from here over guns?
Well, it goes back to the states, right? So it goes to the state level now, and then probably after that, back to the courts, right? So keep in mind, it's not like there's a ton of states affected by the decision. It's only about a half dozen, but gun reform advocates point out there's states with big populations and that this will affect 1 in 4 Americans. You look at New York, right? The governor there has already said that she wants to call a special session of the legislature to try to figure out how to restrict guns in these so-called sensitive locations. California's governor also says that his state is looking at how to update its public carry laws so that it can be consistent with a ruling, by the way, that Governor Newsom calls reckless. It's probable that after those state houses take action, you will see more legal action then. That's what's going to happen, I think, in the months and the years to come.
Well, Hallie, let's understand the connection between these two headlines on guns. It was weird they happened on the same day, but the right. impact that the Supreme Court ruling will have on the deal that was just passed by the Senate.
So experts that NBC News has talked to suggest that there might be some new scrutiny now on what has passed the Senate and what is expected to pass the House, as Peter has laid out. And that's because the Supreme Court basically said, hey, anything now that goes into place that's a gun law, basically, needs to have some historical precedent, right? It needs to have a basis in history. So you look at something like, for example, a red flag law. That experts point out that is a modern concept. That doesn't have a lot of precedent in history. So that is something, an area that I think a lot of people are looking to. It's not going to affect today's vote necessarily, right? Almost certainly will not. But it is something to watch for down the road, Hoda.
Yeah. All right. Hallie Jackson for us there in Washington. Hallie, thank you.
All right. Let us stay in Washington because the first round of public hearings by the January 6th committee wrapped up yesterday with new evidence that former President Trump tried to force the Justice Department to help him overturn the 2020 election results. NBC's senior Capitol Hill correspondent Garrett Haig joins us with the details and what's next in those hearings. Garrett, good morning to you.
Hey, Craig, good morning. Yeah, the committee plans to pause its hearings now until mid-July, but on Thursday, they laid out in detail what they called a dramatic behind-the-scenes pressure campaign at the Department of Justice that nearly led to mass resignations when top officials refused to go along with the former president's alleged plan to overturn the election.
The January 6th committee unveiling what witnesses described as a presidential plot to use the Department of Justice to help overturn the 2020 election, accusing Mr. Trump of personally trying to strong-arm the department.
He responded very quickly and said, what I'm just asking you to do is just say it was corrupt and leave the rest to me and the Republican congressman.
Former senior DOJ officials testifying that when they refused to announce investigations into non-existent voter fraud claims, President Trump sought to replace the department's acting head and replace him with an inexperienced loyalist, Jeffrey Clark, a DOJ environmental attorney who drafted a letter to key states falsely claiming election irregularities.
And when he finished discussing what he planned on doing, I said, good, a-hole, congratulations, you just admitted a first step or act you take as attorney general would be committing a felony.
I said, that's right, you're an environmental lawyer. How about you go back to your office and we'll call you when there's an oil spill.
When DOJ leadership threatened to resign en masse in a heated White House meeting, they say Mr. Trump backed down.
Jeff Clark would be left leading a graveyard.
On Wednesday, federal agents searched Clark's Virginia home, seizing his electronics.
Fifth.
Clark pleaded the fifth in his February committee deposition, but spoke to Fox News last night.
Tucker, I don't recognize the country anymore with these kinds of Stasi-like things happening.
The committee also sharing texts from Pennsylvania Republican Scott Perry, connecting Clark to White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. Perry, one of five lawmakers later named by a White House aide as having sought presidential pardons.
Mr. Perry asked for a pardon, too. I'm sorry. Mr. Perry, did he talk to you directly?
Yes, he did.
Perry denies he ever asked for a pardon, telling NBC News, quote, this never happened. Mr. Trump responding to the hearing on social media, calling it a, quote, kangaroo court, the likes of which we have never seen in this country.
Garrett, as you mentioned there, the next hearings aren't until mid-July. Do we know why they decided to wait until then, and what do we know about the strategy moving forward?
Well, Craig, the committee says they've been inundated with tips and with new evidence since they started these public hearings a couple of weeks ago. Yesterday, in fact, they deposed a documentary filmmaker who was embedded in the Trump White House, who also turned over hours of footage that the committee has asked for. And they're still publicly asking for former White House counsel Pat Cipollone, whose name came up several times in yesterday's hearing, to agree to come forward and testify on the record. The bottom line, Craig, they still have investigative work they say they want to finish before this round of hearings wraps up.
All right. Our senior Capitol Hill correspondent, Garrett Hagfors. Garrett, thank you.
All right. Let's move on now to America's summer travel chaos. Sorry to say it's slated to get even worse in the coming weeks. Record gas prices, grounded flights. It's all happening smack in the middle of the busiest 4th of July travel season in years. NBC's Maggie Vespa. She's standing by for us in Chicago's O'Hare Airport. Hey, Maggie, good morning.
Hey, Hoda, good morning. Yeah, we'll start with the airports, right? Hundreds of flights across the country canceled yesterday with consumer complaints against airlines skyrocketing. And then you turn to the roads. Again, it's a busy day at O'Hare Airport. You turn to the roads. We have gas prices hovering near record highs and the White House taking meetings with Big Oil to try to bring frustrated Americans some needed relief.
This morning, with the July 4th travel surge fast approaching, mayhem is mounting. Canceled flights snarling America's airports.
Very disappointing, very frustrating, very frustrating.
Sky-high gas prices hovering near $5 a gallon, draining drivers' wallets.
$200 to fill this up.
$200 to fill this up?
Yep.
That's painful.
Yeah, it's very painful.
The travel woes lost on no one.
It costs a lot.
Gas costs a lot.
Americans' frustrations rippling to the White House.
We want oil company to get to a higher capacity. That's what we're asking for.
Thursday, Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm meeting with big oil CEOs and doubling down on President Biden's demand that companies boost supply and pass savings on to consumers. This after the president called on Congress Wednesday to suspend the federal gas tax for 3 months.
The American people, they need relief now.
Pain at the pump adding to stress in the skies. New data shows consumer complaints against airlines spiked a staggering 300% in the last 3 years. More than 800 flights were canceled on Thursday alone, with some of the biggest U.S. carriers announcing they're dropping routes long term. United cutting close to 50 daily departures from Newark Airport. American axing flights from four cities in New York, Ohio, and Iowa. Clear signs, experts say, of an industry plagued by staffing shortages, soaring demand, and severe weather. Cancellations stacking up as an estimated 11 million Americans are set to fly over the July 4th holiday, the highest total since the pandemic began.
How much worse do you think this could get?
There's no sugarcoating it. It's going to be a tough summer, and consumers have to be proactive. You can't just make a booking and assume that everything's going to go well, because it may not.
All right, when you have a kid this cute, quite frankly, you have to put them on TV. 8-year-old Calder here and his mom, Tracy. I'm so sorry. You guys are flying to Florida from Chicago. Do you know, is your flight on time at this point?
Oh, we're just checking in. I have no idea. I haven't even looked yet.
This might be a rough moment. It seems to be okay?
I don't know. Where's Tampa? I'm looking. Oh! Oh, we're on time.
You're on time. Okay, great. Do you know that cancellations have been stacking up and it's been...
Maggie, we're here with my mom's checking in for us, so I just follow her lead.
Absolutely.
Maggie, we're just happy they're on time. I think we should end on the fact that someone's going out on time. That was good.
And no one's more excited about it than that
someone's
kid.
Someone's going out on time. Barbara wanted to say hi.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Maggie. They're getting out on time. You landed at 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. What up with that? What happened?
I got it about 1 a.m. My flight was canceled yesterday from Savannah, Georgia. I was down for a shoot, and flight was delayed, then canceled. Wasn't weather. The crew timed out.
Oh, that happens now because there are not enough people.
Last flight. Got a JetBlue out last
night. Come on, you made it. Of course you'd be here. I knew you'd be here.
We got a lot more to get to on this Friday morning, including some new developments in a shark attack off the California coast. This is an attack we told you about yesterday. The swimmer who was hurt now opening up about his rescue and his recovery. NBC's Kerry Sanders joins us from Monterey, California with more. Kerry, good morning.
Well, good morning, Craig. The swimmer has now been identified as 62-year-old Steve Broomer from right here in Monterey, and his doctors say that he narrowly escaped death. His two emergency room doctors say that he's very fortunate because after 2 hours of surgery, they discovered that there were no vital organs, no arteries, and no bones that were damaged in this. But there is still that telltale U-shaped shark bite now on his pelvis. This morning, Steve Broomer grateful to be alive, the man rescued by Good Samaritans after a shark attack Wednesday in Pacific Grove, California, releasing a statement with details about the attack, saying the shark bite was unlucky, but after that, I have just had so much good luck. The 62-year-old triathlete, who has gone swimming in Monterey Bay 1 to 2 times per week for the last 10 years, was swimming about 150 yards from shore at Lovers Point Beach when the attack happened. The day marked by warm temperatures, clear skies, and calm waters, which Broomer says may have led to his rescue. The beach was crowded, he says. There were no waves, and there was no chop, so people could hear me yelling, "Help!"
We're getting a report that somebody got attacked by a shark.
Amy Johns and Paul Bandy were paddleboarding nearby. Heath Braddock, a surfer who was working with kids in the area, also heard the cries for help.
So I grabbed a couple boards and took 2 boards out.
Those 3, Broomer says, got me onto the extra board, and they had me hold the surfer's ankle while he paddled like crazy to get me to the beach. This video shows Amy, Paul, and Heath frantically working to save the swimmer. Broomer, who suffered no damage to his organs or arteries, says the shark took a bite in the right place and at the right time. I remember I was lying in the ambulance and I thought, I can breathe, he says. So I didn't know if I was going to bleed to death, but my lungs were good, and it seemed really lucky that the shark got me in a spot that seemed survivable. What type of shark attacked Steve Broomer? Well, that is unknown at this point, but they may be able to do some DNA tracing to determine what type of shark it was. We do know that there are increasing numbers of juvenile white sharks here in Monterey Bay, and that's been charted over about the last 8 years or so because the water here is getting warmer. Craig?
Kerry Sanders for us there in California. Kerry, thank you.
Coming up 7:19. A lot of people wondering, what are they going to do this weekend? What does the weather look like? Let's head over to Dylan for a check.
Well, for so many folks, that summertime heat is going to continue. In fact, it is going to be almost dangerous in parts of the Gulf Coast. Think of how hot it has to be along the Gulf Coast for them to issue heat advisories and heat warnings, including New Orleans, including that Big Bend down in Florida as well. So high temperatures, once again, well up into the triple digits. New Orleans, 99, but the heat index, 110 degrees. It is really brutal to be outside for too long. Tallahassee, 101 for the high temperature, but 109 for the heat index. Now, tomorrow, we're still going to feel the heat in areas like Memphis and Shreveport. It still feels like it's about 105 to close to 110 degrees. And then as we continue into early next week, we will get some relief in areas like Little Rock, but still, we go from 97 on Sunday down to 87 on Tuesday. Raleigh, though, goes from 92 on Sunday down to 83 on Tuesday. So the farther north north you are, the better chance you'll have of getting some relief from the heat. And that's your latest forecast.
All right, Dylan, thank you. Okay, still ahead. We showed you these images yesterday. That was the American Olympian swimmer passed out during a competition, and her coach dove in and saved her. Well, this morning, they're talking to us. They're sharing their firsthand story behind that dramatic rescue.
Also ahead, an issue laid bare in one of America's most prestigious addresses. Will going topless soon be allowed on those quaint beaches of Nantucket? We're there live this morning with a debate that's really dividing the summer paradise. But first, this is Today on NBC.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/today. Just go to Indeed.com/today right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/today. Conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Now on this Friday morning, June 24th, 2022.
Let's get right to our 7:30 headlines. We begin with an update on a story we told you about yesterday. Federal health officials have ordered Juul Labs to pull all of its e-cigarette products from the U.S. market. It is the biggest blow yet to the embattled company that's widely blamed for sparking a surge in teen vaping. The announcement by the FDA is part of a sweeping regulatory review of e-cigarettes. In a statement, Juul Labs said in part, quote, "We respectfully disagree with the FDA's finding, and we are exploring all of our options, including appealing the decision."
1 year after 98 people were killed in the Surfside condo collapse, family members and the community are honoring those lost in the tragedy. A remembrance event is going to take place this morning at the building site just north of Miami. First Lady Dr. Jill Biden is expected to attend. The cause of the collapse remains under investigation. Yesterday, a judge gave final approval to a settlement topping $1 billion for victims of the tragedy. Also, new this morning, folks, we've got some new details on that dramatic rescue of an American swimmer who passed out and sank to the bottom of the pool during a competition.
We brought you the stunning photos yesterday. Well, now both the Olympian, the swimmer, and her hero coach, they're opening up to NBC about just what happened.
Our national correspondent, Miguel Almaguer, joins us with their story. Miguel, good morning to you.
Hey guys, good morning. Anita Alvarez was capping off another amazing performance at the World Aquatic Championships in Budapest, Hungary, when her coach sensed something was wrong, so she jumped into action even before lifeguards did, saving the star swimmer's life.
The stunning photos capture the life and death struggle at the bottom of the pool. Artistic swimmer Anita Alvarez slowly and motionlessly drifting to the floor as her legendary coach Andrea Fuentes desperately dives in, reaching for the 25-year-old, wrapping her arms around the swimmer before saving her life.
Everything went black, and that was kind of it. It all happened really fast.
The incredible rescue unfolding during competition at the World Aquatic Championships. Alvarez was at the end of her exhausting solo when a wave of darkness washed over her body.
What's the last thing you remember?
I remember going down and just being like, I don't feel too great. And that's literally the last thing I remember, actually.
Likely fainting because of exhaustion, when Alvarez began to sink beneath the surface, her coach, a fellow Olympian, knew something was off.
I know that when you finish, you really want to breathe, no? So as soon as she was going down, immediately I know that something was wrong.
Submerged for nearly 2 minutes, Alvarez was rolled onto the pool deck. Though her lungs had filled with water, she had a pulse, then suddenly began gasping for air.
It was like in slow motion to me. Like, you know, for Anita it was fast, but for me it was a year.
It's not the first time this has happened. Just last year, Fuentes dived to rescue the swimmer after she lost consciousness at an Olympic qualifying event in Barcelona.
When did you know you'd be okay?
I think right away I knew I would be okay. I mean, as soon as I started breathing and was awake and everything. I say this all the time to her and to other people. Just so grateful to have her as a coach.
For these swimmers, a bond stronger than words and the photos of a lifetime.
Miguel, I would imagine someone like Alvarez is planning to jump right back in the water, right?
Yeah, she says she's ready to, and she's been cleared by doctors. In fact, one of the first things she texted her coach was she wanted to get back in the water, and that's likely where she'll soon be, guys.
My goodness. Miguel Almaguer for us. Miguel, thank you.
Yeah, you interviewed her dad when it happened the first time.
Yeah.
That's such a strange...
It is. A strange coincidence. Yeah. But man, thank God that coach was there, right?
Jumped in quick. All right, coming up, the question at the heart of an interesting debate in an unexpected summer destination, the idyllic island of Nantucket. So here's the question. Should women be allowed to go topless on beaches there? We're going to hear from both sides in a live report.
Also ahead, with the wedding season upon us, meet the happy couples getting pretty creative, using everything from Evites to faux cakes to make sure the rising prices and inflation don't spoil their special
day. Did you say faux cake?
Faux cakes. Fake cakes. A little cheaper, apparently. But first, these messages. We are back at 7:40 with In Depth Today and This Morning, the hot debate raging in one of America's quintessential summer getaways.
It is. It's that tiny island of Nantucket, and it finds itself deeply divided over whether or not to allow women to go topless on its beautiful beaches. NBC's Emily Akeda is there for us this morning. Hey, Emily.
Well, good morning to you guys. Tops could soon be optional for everyone here in Nantucket. The woman behind the push for change says this is all about gender equality. But as you'll see in a moment, not everyone in this traditional town is on board.
This summer, off the coast of Cape Cod, where idyllic beaches are known to draw crowds, a new debate stirring on the seaside island of Nantucket that could make some bathing there look a whole lot different.
What is taboo about a woman's chest? So
people walk around topless in other beaches across the world. Why not here?
Last month, seventh-generation Nantucketer Dorothy Stover made a big splash at a town meeting, advocating for gender equality and so-called top freedom on all the island's public and private beaches.
This bylaw would not make beaches nude beaches. This bylaw would allow tops to be optional for anyone that chooses to be topless.
But the debate over baring your chest is baring a deeply divided town.
I may not choose to go topless. God forbid everybody'd run away. But I think other people should have that choice.
If I have to go topless to prove that I am equal to a male, there is something wrong with that concept.
The measure setting off a wave of concerns over disrupting the family environment, the safety of younger girls, and attracting the wrong crowd.
We talk about preservation. We talk about make sure the shingles are gray. Yet we're going to pass something that would call undue attention to this island for the wrong reasons.
To the gentleman who just spoke, I don't like to be compared to a shingle. My breasts are not shingles.
But after a long, freewheeling debate, Stover's proposal for topless beaches passed.
327 yes, 242 no, that is adopted.
Under current law in Nantucket, women face a penalty of up to 3 years in prison and a fine up to $300 for going topless at the beach, something Stover and a growing movement of celebrities and activists around the world say breeds inequality.
Other states have already passed top freedom. That hopefully this is that step in the direction of desexualizing the female body and not objectifying.
The new measure still has to be approved by the state's attorney general, but the proposed change is already causing trouble in paradise. For many residents on this traditional island, the message is clear.
Well, I think Nantucket is very special unto itself. If you want to go topless, go to Mykonos.
There's a lot to unpack in this one, Emily. Okay, so are there going to be specific pieces of beaches that there will be the topless section and then the non-topless section? How does it work?
Okay, Hoda, so if this gets the green light, that does not mean people can run around just anywhere topless. The bylaw is specific to beaches. So as soon as you step foot in the parking lot, in a concession area, or in a playground area, you're going to have to cover up again. The state's attorney general office says she'll be making a decision on this in by early September. So there's no shedding layers quite yet. Hoda, back to you.
All right, Emily, thank you. I mean, the idea that before all this, that there was a jail time, that you could have gotten jail time for that is pretty surprising, too. But we'll see what the attorney general does in that one.
So many thoughts.
So many thoughts.
None of them will be shared on television. Dylan Drummer.
Oh, if Al was here today, I'm sure he'd have
thank God he's not.
On that.
How about the weather, speaking of beaches?
Well, whatever you decide to wear to the beach today, it is going to be a hot one, that's for sure, in the Northeast, down along the Gulf Coast. But we also do have some severe weather to talk about. When you have such warm temperatures and a cold front moving eastward, you will trigger some of these storms. So just north of Minneapolis, we have a lot of cloud to ground lightning. We also have some of those severe thunderstorms trying to move into Iowa, into northern Missouri as well. But the area we're focusing on this afternoon will be in this darker orange here, including Fargo, even including Bismarck, North Dakota, where we could see wind gusts up to 75 miles per hour. That could cause some damage, and hail could be 2 inches or more in diameter. As for tornadoes, that's not the biggest threat, but it is this cold front that's moving eastward. And keep in mind, out ahead of it, because it is so hot and humid, a lot of these downpours could produce a lot of rain in a short period of time. So that could lead to some brief flooding concerns as well. And that's your latest forecast.
All right, guys, we've got a fun one coming up next. There's a guy, you may not know his name, but you might know his videos. We're going to get you acquainted to the new king of TikTok. He is eclipsing everybody. We're going to explain why, and you're going to want to follow him coming up right after this.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Why are smart businesses graduating to NetSuite by Oracle? Because NetSuite eliminates the expense of multiple business systems by consolidating your operations together into one. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. NetSuite reduces IT costs because it lives in the cloud with no hardware required, so you can access it from anywhere. You cut the cost and headaches of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. Bringing all your major business processes into one platform improves efficiency, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. You'll see how you'll profit with NetSuite, too. And now, by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Just go to netsuite.com/podcast25 for more information. That's netsuite.com/podcast25.
We are back with Joe Fryer. We're also back with a guy that you can't miss on social media. He's apparently the new king of TikTok.
Yeah, 143 million followers. Cabbie LeMay has taken the social media platform by storm with silent but hilarious videos dethroning influencers like Charli D'Amelio to become the most followed account. He reacts to videos of people doing over-the-top life hacks with a much simpler approach, ending with an expression that personifies the word duh.
This guy, the 22-year-old, he started posting the videos in the early days of the pandemic. He was laid off from his job at a factory. Well, the rest is history. And this kid grew up in not great conditions. And now, look, I mean, look at this guy, this TikToker. He made spaghetti on the floor of his car.
Yeah.
And then you cut to our wonderful TikTok guy, and he gets plates. He's like, look, they're called plates, people. And he serves it up. And anyway, he's got everybody talking, everybody laughing. He's got a huge following, and it's no wonder. He makes you laugh during hard times. Well, come on,
you say this all the time. I mean, simple is funny.
Yes. Simple is funny.
Simple is
that's
funny.
What we're all thinking.
Yes. And I like his that's it.
Yeah,
like,
no words.
That's it.
No one.
I also love that you can succeed on TikTok without dancing now.
Yes.
I mean,
who knew?
Goodness.
For all of us.
All right, guys, ahead on Pop Start, the inside story you have not heard behind everyone's favorite Baby Yoda.
Coming up next, your 8 o'clock hour.
you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.